It's sometimes discouraging. I don't know if any of you felt like that sometimes, but it's, wow, you get over there and you go, wow, this is so wonderful. Somebody else can give sermons now. I gave split in another sermon, but it's so nice sometimes listening to somebody else. And also in singing together, we only had 130, but 130 is a lot more than 20 when you're singing together. And also there are those that are singing in French. That was another challenge there, but it's wonderful to be with God's people that are all around the world that speak different languages, and you still know you're of the same mindset. You know, how wonderful that is. And for you to go to your places, Branson and Pigeon Forge, that I heard Pigeon Forge got their sunshine this year. So I was really happy to see that as well. God blessed everyone, I believe, with a really good feast. But you come back, and there tends to be sometimes maybe, the leaves are falling. It's beautiful out there now. I think there might be some forest fires out there now because it's smoke-laden throughout the mountains here. But we come back and we face Halloween. In fact, on that day, Mr. Warden came over and knocked on the door. I looked at you, I go, let's not answer that. Might be a trick-or-treater. He knocked again, tapped on it. I go, this person's relentless. Well, as a true deacon, he was. And so we finally answered it and let him in. And but you know, you face the pagan festivals coming up again. And we'll have to pray again that they'll be merciful and keep the tree out of here. But you know, that's what we face. That's the time and the challenge that we face. So we're faced with this time. In fact, I think now that the Halloween decorations and candy have all been half-price clearanced, that it's all filled up with the Christmas decorations now, isn't it? So wherever you go, this is what we face, and this is what we see. And knowing this, we've known this for years. It just it gets more commercialized. So you realize it's a merchant's thing. It's more about the money than anything. But that's what we see. We've got a tremendous work to do. All of us have got a lot of work to do. I mean, if we think that we're prepped and ready for Christ's return, we better take another look in that mirror. We've got a lot of work to do. And even looking at all the things that we're going to be going through, because my attempt is to help us all with the sense of urgency that we need. I did get that theme at the feast this year. I don't know if you got that, but I think we all sense that times are coming rapidly, it seems. Now, we'll just have to watch. You know, we've seen before, God can extend this, shorten it. No one knows the time, but we just sense as we see the leaves coming and winter is coming near, that the time of Jesus Christ and his return with the saints, what a time that would be. What a real feast of tabernacles that's going to be. That puts a smile on my face. Thank God that he gives us his festivals and holy days. So let's hope now that we can get to the Passover in one piece. But in the meantime, we've got work to do. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 40, very interesting things to look at within the realm of the scriptures that God has given to us. We see this time here when it says Jesus was growing. And like all the other vagaries, really, it doesn't matter. As far as we go to pre-12 years old or whatever, this is the information that we get, and it's most important for us to see what was being done. Now, we once had a theme. There was once actually a feast theme, I think it was, and also instead of the In Accord video, do you remember it was called About My Father's Business? I remember, and I was hoping that they would get that going again, because I really appreciate the encouraging tidbits for, you know, 15 minutes or so that we can get from our headquarters to say this is what's going on. They give us pictures of what's going on overseas or what we're attempting to do, and it kind of revitalizes us sometimes to see that we always did believe in preaching a gospel, and we're going to continue to do that until the return of Jesus Christ. And then after that, that still doesn't stop, does it? But it's always been one that's encouraged me to is the best that we can, and within the opportunities that we have, that we had even yesterday. Sometimes it's like you want to be very cautious, and I noticed that we were trying to do that. You just want to, you know, blast out there, yeah, we keep all the holy days, and if you don't like it, tough. No, No, we're very cautious about what we do with God's truth. And again, God blesses, and if we're going to get the haul, we're going to get the haul, you know, regardless. But we want to be careful in what we do with this. Now, if we can be a shining example, I thought that was a nice answer when the pastor said, "Will you believe in all of the Bible?" Well, yeah. Now, where it goes from there, we'll see. Maybe he'll look. I almost had kind of a daydream yesterday that his whole congregation wanted to join us. And I was going, how do we do this? I was going, no, I don't want your building at all. We'll still rent. But, you know, the thought of how, what's God going to do to work this out? How many more people will he call? So we watch. And we look at these examples. In Luke 2, verse 40, it says, "The child, speaking of Jesus, grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Wouldn't that be neat to plug your name in there? "And the child, Jonathan, grew. The child, Gabriel, grew. The child, Aaron, grew and waxed strong in spirit." How? You have family to teach you. We have to see this responsibility that's upon us that sometimes takes a little bit extra effort, but it certainly is worth it. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of Passover. Now, this is where you can tell that the parents, Mary and Joseph, had too much mind. Even back then, too much mind. They had too much going on in their mind. What happened? How do you leave your child behind for 3 days? "When they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother didn't know of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among the kinsfolk and acquaintance." Now, it must have been a pretty big entourage, that normally when you traveled, you were a lot safer when you traveled in those numbers like that. So it was a safety and protection, but they obviously had so many, they didn't realize, where is he after 3 days? Well, it says, "After a day's journey, they sought him. When they didn't find, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. It came past after, it took 3 days to find him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. 12 years old. Well, you'd say, well, it was Jesus. Well, yeah. You know, it certainly was. And at this time, you can see that he understood that he had a work to do, even at 12 years old. But yet, he had to, still went through life working as a carpenter, as we know. But what was most important to him? And I reflected on that. What do you think when you reflect back? When again, maybe a takeaway of the church. Because I remember when God absolutely called me and I knew it, that there was nothing more important to me than the church. Even though I had work and I had jobs, the church was always the most important thing. The job was secondary. It was almost like every week, maybe you would have it. You would go, okay, there's Bible study on Wednesday. We've got choir practice here. We're going to do this work party over here, that YOU thing over here. And then the weekend's going to be occupied by the church, by the Sabbath, and then maybe some activity on Sunday. That was it. Is that still our life now? You know, maybe it's, we could go back to Ephesians where it says, what was the problem with the Ephesians? Do you remember? It says, something happened. You lost your first love. Do you have the same love that when you were first called? Because if you don't, we better grab that back and ask for that. Some I know when they are because we have our ups and downs, so it's a human proclivity for that to happen. It's natural, and I recognize that even after the feast, there's going to be this little low because you're disappointed. What a wonderful time you've got, but I'm back into the grind again. What grind? The grinding about being about our Father's business as well. The most important thing that we've got going for us right now. Verse 47, it says, all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his father and his mother said to him, son, why have you dealt this with us? Your father and I have sought you sorrowing. He said, how is it that you sought me? Didn't you know that I must be about my father's business? And he didn't understand the saying which he spoke to them. They did later, didn't they? Because we know everything that Christ told the disciples as well, they didn't get until later. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. She remembered these things. But look what it says here. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, or maturity it reflects on, and in favor with God and man. Favor. Now, if you look at simply favor or grace, as sometimes it can be translated as unmerited pardon, Christ didn't need unmerited pardon. He never sinned. If you look at it as favor, just like a son or a daughter would be in favor with their parents, because what a wonderful example that they did. Wow, they cleaned up for me. They did this. They act in a certain way befitting of what you've taught them. That's how the father looked upon his son. In favor with God and with man. Now, what was that business? What was that? What was his father's business? Should we be about that same business? What goals have we set for the coming year? Because it's so easy, once what happens is within corporate organizations, we get used to a certain procedure or function. We do webcasts. We do magazines. We do other what become things. Now, remember, years ago, I'll never forget this because I kept the letter, even though the tide changed after a while. But when the church as a whole was going through its initial upheaval with over 100,000 people, and all these things were coming out, and you had to face all these different things. Look, what we had back then, you can still find on the internet. We still have YOU lessons. Remember Tomorrow's World? Plain Truths? All these different programs and Bible studies. It's all out there on the internet still. We had all those functions. We had physical places in Big Sandy and even Brickett Wood at one time. We had our own camps that we had. So we're pretty much fully furnished, as we see, as I look around and I see other churches to this day that furnish themselves, filled with, in fact, at the place they're meeting, they actually have someone does Zumba in the morning. So they're out by the time we get there, but they have all these things, these activities that churches have. And you wonder, you get into such physical, into those things, that word is our, what are we supposed to do if they're doing everything for us? And so there is that reminder, as we even put together programs for the parents now, a reminder that's, don't forget, we're here to help, but you're to instruct and teach. And to this day, again, you can have to go through some of the YOU lessons to make sure that it's all according to the Bible, but there are still things out to help the parents, to teach the children, because sometimes the gift is not there for ideas. Sometimes there's lots of ideas that are out there to help instruct and to teach. But these are things we've got to take a look at in our own life. Is it just going to be physical for you and just getting your striving to get your next paycheck or something physical, which God knows we have to deal with these things, but what's first and foremost on our minds? Should we be searching to seek the will of our Father in our daily lives? You know, it was pointed out by someone that, you know, when the Israelites came out of Egypt, little question for you, God gave them what to eat? Gave them manna. Who knows what the meaning of manna is? What is it? Why would you get a what is it? You know, and every morning, didn't they had to get it every day. And it said some, obviously, here's the proclivity of mankind, not listening to God's directions. They kept it over, and what happened? It got worms and it spoiled, didn't it? They had to get it every day. What is it? thought this was interesting. So they were given their daily bread every day. What's that mean for us? You know, Christ said, give us this day our daily bread. Now, do you think he was talking about physical or spiritual? He's talking about, he wasn't talking about the manna. The daily bread we're to ask is the sustenance that we need spiritually to continue to grow, not just to sustain, by the way. It's not daily bread that puts Band-Aids on our spiritual wounds. It's the ones that we're doing the same thing that Jesus did. He increased in wisdom and stature. That if that ever stops for any of us, and if you think that ever stops at a certain age, you're in trouble. We're to keep growing, increasing in maturity, the way we handle the word. And all of us can look back, and I like remembering some of the lessons, frankly, where, oh, I wish I wouldn't have said it that way. Or, oh, if I would only said this. And I've mentioned to you before, because God is our instructor and teacher, you're probably not going to get that question again. I'd love to have it back, but now that I know it, he'll probably give me another one, because we're being taught and we're learning and we're growing. So that's maybe for each of us in the morning, maybe we should grab for the spiritual, what is it? What is it? God, what's your will for me today? What do you want? What am I going to confront today? How do you want me to respond? What is it that you want me to do today? I thought it was a very good analogy. What is it? Our spiritual manna. Every single day. Not skipping a day. Now, thankfully, on Sabbath, we come and fellowship together to get spiritually renewed for the rest of the week. John chapter 5, let's go over here and to John chapter 5. But sometimes we wonder, again, some of the basic understanding within traditional Christianity is that you've got the Father sitting on the throne. There's some things that they, a basic understanding, but how is it that this functions? How is it that this works? Because you know that the Father sits on a throne and that Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. That's a given, isn't it? Now, let me ask you this. Do you think that they're always sitting on the throne? I mean, you get a real spiritual backache, you'd think. You know, since we're created in their image, I would think that they function. They do things. And we've talked about that. This universe, you know, something, it's ever expanding. We'll see what God is doing. I know what's being said. Some will say, well, they found new galaxies. No, they just spotted some that they've not set their sights on. And it could be that God is doing more. That's certainly a possibility. But all that we're going to find out. I think God wants us to focus in on where we're at right now. Not worrying about his galaxies and his universe. But my point is here, it says, Jesus said in verse 17 of John 5, my Father works and I work. Well, what do? They both work. Well, now Christ was speaking in terms here of his work that he was doing on the face of this earth at the time. But he's not stopped working. His Father's not stopped working. And the point is, we don't stop working. Verse 19, it says, verily I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself except for what he sees the Father do. For whatever things he does, these also does the Son likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all these things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickens or makes them live, even so the Son quickens whom he will. For the Father judges no man but has committed all judgment to his Son. So here we read and see part of the work that the Father has given to his Son. In verse 23 it says that all should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father who has sent him. So this begs a question, how do we honor the Son? Follow his example. All these testimonies are for us. I mean, really, it goes back to the original question that I asked whether I was going to circumcise my kids or not. So You can't go wrong if you follow the example of Jesus Christ. And yet I got all this hoopla from the physical world. Well, you should, then you shouldn't. All those questions have been around for such a long time. What does God expect us to do? What does God want us to do? What's the example of Jesus Christ? Verse 24, it says, "Verily I say to you that he who hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and will not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life." So it might be easy to just read right over this verse, but it's of utmost importance to note that hears and believes denotes something that we do. It's action. It's not just you've done your job, because it's an easy scenario to get into. You can come here and do your Sabbath job. Nice, and you do, frankly, a pretty good job. People are attentive. Setups are really nice. But then we can go back for the next 6 days and not give any thought to what's most important in our life. I would like this to be tomorrow and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Now, granted, my job is more of that anyway, but I still have to go back to even pre-ministry. What was our job and what was our function? I still remember we always tried to teach our children, and sometimes you feel like you're a failure. Sometimes you wonder but the point is, are we trying? Are we putting the effort out to do work? Again, that was my takeaway from trying to drive through in the Swiss Alps. Do I just sit there and go nowhere and ask God to beam me to our hotel? I just said, the only thing we can do is keep going, pray about it. No, but I'd never felt unsafe. It's so nice to be in some other country, by the way, and you think that, that France belongs to the French? No, it doesn't. It belongs to God. It's all God's territory. So wherever you are, we're safe wherever we go. It's just that sometimes when you come home to a place like that, all of a sudden we had a craving for French toast. Kind of get caught in the moments of what the French do on the French bread and things like that. But it's nice watching the different cultures and different places and people. And to also realize that your fellow brethren throughout the world are doing the same thing. Just in a different language, in a different place, with sometimes different vehicles, but it's the same thing. So it requires work. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll finish here today. It says, "Verily, verily, I say to you," and aren't we looking forward to this? Wow. "The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and they who hear will live. As the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." So you and I, when we look back and see the special responsibility that we've been given, for some reason, God called you, and he called me. I said, why? Out of the billions of people that have even ever lived, I'll give you one more takeaway. We visited some castles, some wrecks of castles, and some other pretty nice ones. Chenonceau was one that's still an existing castle that you can see the grandeur of its time. And what you find out from these castles and history as a whole, that some guy that had a lot of money and a lot of power got the castle. And so you had all the peasants working down at this place, and they'd be saying, oh yeah, if you had more power, you were up here, you were in the castle, until you got bored and wanted somebody else's castle. And so for a long time, it was between the French and the English. They call it the Hundred Years' War. It's actually 116 years. That they had a war on who would take this and take that. Then treaties were signed, and that one wanted power. Then they had more money. Then they lured the Spanish in, and you came in here, and this guy had... And I'm looking at the whole scenario, going, not a bad castle. I still like my house back here. Not a bad place maybe for its time, but you see the history of mankind. That they've had castles in order to conquer. God's going to give us mansions to serve. Isn't that interesting? Whole opposite way of thinking. We just came through that thinking. and recognizing as well that those of us that are in the first resurrection are going to be spirit beings in the millennial time. Then we get to the last great day, and how God's going to do that remains to be seen. Because there's nothing clear in there that says how he's going. I can't imagine. It's hard for my mind to comprehend. Bam, bam, boom, billions, just like that. Now, we're going to have 1,000 years to get ready for this second resurrection, aren't we? Is he going to do it in stages? The French first, or how is he going to do this? Remains to be seen. Thing is, we're going to be ready, and there's going to be a lot of people, and we're going to be executing judgment. How we help people, we're going to know exactly what God the Father wants to do. It will be revealed by Jesus Christ. When that time comes to know all the rest of the stuff, in the meantime, we're in this stage right now in the learning to see, do we really get what Christ is saying to us? He who humbles himself as this little child. Not losing our first love. Understanding the urgency. Understanding the work that God has given all of us to do. And when you think about it in those terms, and your relationship is close to God, and I would still suggest these are times that you're going to want to be fasting more and getting close to God, that you can be strengthened. Paul talked about that you might be strengthened with all might in the inner man. That's what we're going to need now. So you don't have to have those feelings of being let down or wondering or kind of like that you're floating somewhere. That you know God's called you, I've got a direction. I may not know always exactly where I'm going, but I know if I'm close to God, he'll guide me. Because physically, he did. Why wouldn't he spiritually? We've got a work to do. So let's be about our Father's business and not let down and have the urgency to accomplish that work.